92 to 95 FM, 810 medium wave, and on digital. BBC Radio Scotland.
Hello, I'm David, and I'm proud to say, from the bottom of the soles of my shoes to the top of the spikes of my hair, that I am a Proclaimers fan. Oh yes, God bless them.
Hi, my name's Chris. I've just finished work.
This is Kenny from the New York Tartan Army. This is Scott Patterson calling from Toronto, Canada.
And I'd like to play one of my favourite records, please.
And I would love to hear, can I please hear, I'm going to be 500 miles by the Proclaimers.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm going to be the man who wakes up next to you.
I'm John Kavanagh, this is Songlines, and as I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles Turns 20, we offer a fresh appraisal of its international appeal. How did Craig Reid's pledge of loyalty and longing end up being embraced the world over, despite incorporating the word haver? At its heart, it's a love letter, and a particularly honest and vulnerable one.
All songs in fact, are letters. And I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles is one of the liveliest love letters of them all.
And there's nobody who wouldn't tap their foot and sing along. I defy you not to tap your foot and sing along to 500 Miles.
When I'm lonely, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's lonely without you.
Identical twins Craig and Charlie Reid are consistently true to themselves, a rare quality in the landscape of pop. In 1987, Channel 4's switchboard was jammed with enthusiastic new fans after they appeared on the Tube.
And they were introduced sort of out of the blue as this new act. I'd never heard anything like them before. It was the singing in the broad Scottish accents, and at that time it was just the two of them, and I just thought these songs were the most extraordinary things I'd ever heard.
David Tennant.
Well, I'd certainly never heard Bathgate mentioned on Top of the Pops before.
Later that year, NME readers nominated them Best New Band, and their debut album, This Is The Story, went gold.
Charlie, I play in the Proclaimers.
I'm Craig, I sing in the Proclaimers.
In the wake of this sudden ascent, Craig came up with their most famous song, written for his then-girlfriend, now wife.
What happened was, we were going up to Aberdeen, it was when Charlie and I were still playing acoustically, and I think we're still promoting the first record. I was just sitting in the house, and I was just playing the piano, the old electric piano in the flat. I got this idea. Usually I'll get music first and then words later, but occasionally you get the two things at once, and I got the words almost simultaneously. I think the whole song was written in about 45, 50 minutes. So we did it for Sunshine and Leith, and I think as soon as we recorded it, we knew that was the lead single. You know, that was the one.
Did he always suspect it would be a hit?
The only suspicion was that it was the single. Yeah. It was catchy, and so you played it live, and it got an instant response, so you knew it was going to work. And that obviously we had to put it on the record, and when we'd recorded it, it was obviously the first single. But that, beyond that, we thought if it gets radio play, we'll get some kind of hit out of it. But you never think it's going to be something like it's become, you know.
I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles barely scraped the UK top 10, and had it not been for an early Johnny Depp film, it may have ended up being known only by the more dedicated fans. Charlie relates the tale.
88 it came out in Britain, and then it was 93 it was a hit in America, so like 5 years later. And what had happened was they'd asked Mary Stuart Masterson, the actress, to bring along stuff you want to hear or things you can rehearse scenes by. It seems to be that record, The Sunshine of Leith, was played a lot, and that's the first track on the record. And the crew and the producer and the director all picked up on it.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you.
And so many songs now, when you see them, oh, this is included in a movie, you hear 30 seconds, they played the whole thing right in the opening credits. So it was like the biggest publicity thing you could ever have got. And it's funny because when the record came out in America and was a hit, we'd been away for a while and we'd done okay on the college circuit in America, but I believe the record company in America had to check to see if they still had the copyright and we were still on the label.
And the most overwhelming response was from the Antipodean expat community.
I think when we went to Australia, I think that was probably the biggest single. It was nuts. It was like a triple platinum album and it was number one for like 5 or 6 weeks. So the most intense reaction we ever got to a record. You kind of get crowded by people. And it was quite funny. I mean, getting off planes and there was people there to greet you and stuff. But yeah, it's the last 5 minutes, doesn't it? You know, these are the kind of the things that you remember, just like, but it's not why you do it, you know. It's nice for a while, and it was amusing, you know. But we could, I hope we saw the funny side of it rather than, you know, taking it seriously at the time, you know. It was a great thing to be able to go all these countries and have people singing the song.
Kenny McCall.
They were like the first band that were really not afraid to be outwardly seen as Scottish. So I think, you know, any song from theirs is going to appeal to people, especially when they're thinking of Scotland, you know?
I don't know if being Scottish means that you feel particularly drawn to them, but certainly hearing your own accent reflected back is there's something. Well, it's so unusual, isn't it? You know, I mean, I also loved, at the time, a lot of Scottish artists, but most of them, you know, Hugh and Cry, Deacon Blue, they were all singing like Americans. And I loved their stuff too, but there was something so refreshing and so new about what Craig and Charlie were doing. It just blew me away.
Basically, there's people that seem like Scots, you know, so you go there and they're like Scots or the Irish, and it was, I think maybe that's why they got it.
Scott Patterson of Toronto, Canada.
The vocals were sung with a broad Scots accent. An artist's accent didn't usually translate that strongly into song.
And when I come home, jump home, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home.
The Proclaimers' heart-on-sleeve lyrics have a quality that their male fans relate to, and unashamedly so. Chris Evans.
You know, just listen to the lyrics. When I wake up, well, I know I'm going to be. I'm going to be the man who wakes up next to you. How gorgeous is that? When I go out, yeah, I know I'm going to be. I'm going to be the man who goes out along with you. And then we move on to, I'm going to be the man who's working hard for you. And when the money comes in for the work I'll do, I'll pass almost every penny of it on to you. Now, that is gorgeous.
In some ways, they look like very unreconstructed Scottish men, but actually, everything that they sing about is so open-hearted and vulnerable and emotional. I don't know that 500 Miles is the best example of that. I mean, saying, tell you what, I'm going to get really drunk and crawl into bed next to you, it's kind of romantic, but I think they've said finer things elsewhere.
David Tennant.
No, it's a lovely sentiment, isn't it? That thought that you'll always have someone to come home to, and you'll always have, wherever else you go and whatever else you do, you'll always have that part of your heart that is forever given over to someone else. It's a beautiful thought.
All their songs, I think, they're fantastic because their melodies are like as powerful, as reliable, relentless, resilient Scottish spirit.
My heart was broken.
But their harmonies, the harmonies just kill you.
Sorrow.
As towering as the Highlands themselves. I mean, that's what does it for me. You know, it's like a million Bob Dylan screaming at you. You know, that's what does it for me. It's the meter of their songs. It's all about love. It's all about life. It's two voices as one, as brothers, as twins.
It's just these incredible songs that have been the soundtrack to my life, I suppose, for the last 20 years. They're the songs that I keep coming back to. They're the songs that make me happy and make me sad and the way they talk about the human experience is, which maybe that sounds ridiculous to talk about pop songs like that, but I think it's true. I think they say things about what it is to be a bloke and what it is to be a human being, and I think they do it better than anybody else.
You know, if you strip down all the records that we've made, they're either love songs or social observation or something. So you see what you feel, and that's it.
While I'm worth
either through the radio, either on your CD, you know, on your computer, or even better, and they're never better, at their best when they're live.
The first time I saw them was in Barrowlands in Glasgow. That would have been the Sunshine and Leith album, or maybe it was Hit the Highway, maybe it was that too. And the most recent time I've seen them was in Cardiff. They were down, when I was down filming Doctor Who, they came to Cardiff, and I took a little posse down from the set, some of whom were already fans and the rest of whom have since become absolute flag-waving supporters of all things Proclaimer. I've seen them at Glastonbury. I also saw their musical in Glasgow at the King's Theatre, the Sunshine and Leith musical. You know, they weren't in exactly, but their songs. It was incredible seeing something like that, because it just shows how emotionally connected their stuff is, that it can fit into a dramatic piece so seamlessly and have everyone in the King's Theatre Glasgow crying their heart out.
We heard from some of their followers outside their gig in Durham.
I've always quite enjoyed the Proclaimers. I have a little bit of a connection where they sing Sunshine in Leith, and my father was raised in Leith, and I have many happy memories of going up to see his folks and the tenements in Leith and the docks, and I'm really looking forward to them singing that particular song.
Sunshine on Leith always makes me cry every time. It was a really special song because it was the first song my husband bought for me. He sort of, so it was our song, so every time I listen to that I always get really emotional. I think the boys tend to write songs that, well, put into song what I can't often say in words.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
My first time. My daughter's seen them 5 times.
13. Yes. Ian and I. And this is the first time for the kids tonight. Yeah. And they look
super. They look brilliant. They were really good.
Yeah, I got a picture as well.
Just such a variety of lovely songs, tremendous songs and nice stories to tell.
It's the second time I saw them first in Liverpool, but we were quite far away, so this time was well better. So.
Did you enjoy it? What song did you like best?
500 Miles, definitely.
So I was in Edinburgh this morning, we were talking about, and so I had some people singing the song because I'd travelled 500 miles to get here tonight.
It's the bouncy song, it's the wobbly song, isn't it? You know, it could be the middle of winter or the height of summer, everybody's going to wobble like jelly. That's what the spacemen are seeing from the moon. They look down, they see a wobbling mass of what would probably be, you know, tens of thousands of people, and they know the Proclaimers are playing 500 miles. That's what they know. They don't need any satellites, they don't need any telescopes, they just need to see the wobble. You can see the Great Wall of China from the moon, you can see the Great Lakes from the moon, and you can see the Proclaimers wobble.
People have said to us over the years, well, what if you kind of sit down and analyse what does it? It's a driving beat. It's like that damp chord thing that kind of immediately it kind of grabs your attention. The stops in it, when you listen to the drumming on it, how the drumming inverts itself in it. It's quite clever the way Pete, but it is very clever the way Pete Wingfield arranged it. There's also not too much modern on it, there's not any strong synthesizer noise or anything that would date it as being a kind of mid 80s, late 80s record. It's affirmative and it's a declaration of love, so I think it ticks all the boxes.
It's a great chorus, it's very easy to sing along to. It's very easy to stamp your feet to. It's very memorable. It's the sort of song that if you hear it first thing in the morning on the radio, you can't really get it out of your head for the rest of the day. I mean, quite what the alchemy to all that is, I wouldn't begin to understand. But I'm very glad that Greg and Charlie seem to.
Unpredictably for a love song, 500 Miles has been appropriated by football fans the world over. None more passionate, of course, than the Tartan Army.
I've been in New York for nearly 15 years. We were having trouble getting to see the Scotland game, so we set up a local Tartan Army here in New York. Proclaimers write pretty romantic songs, which I think is quite unusual for Scotland, but if there's one thing we're romantic about, it is our football. We travel around the world for a team, and if you go in a bar, you hear this song over and over again. I've probably heard this song more than any other song in the history of recorded music by now. And if it wasn't a good song that you could sing along to, I think, you know, there'd be bricks put through jukeboxes across the world by now.
Kenny McCall.
I've had quite a lot of sport in venues. Somebody was telling me the other night that Alex Ferguson was dancing up and down here after the European Cup final. So I still call it European Cup final. I still call the League Cup final that Ibs won in 2007. That was a fantastic day. The Champions League final when it was Real Madrid against Bayer Leverkusen. You know, it was ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, it was a mime. And the reason that we had to mime was because we were told we had to, because it was literally down to the second it had to be there. And, we're inside this football, which opened up into a giant thistle. Doing I'm Gonna Be, then the Spanish fans singing it in Spanish, because it was on an advert in Spain, and the German fans singing it, and then boom, you're off, and you literally had to run to get off before the players came on. And that was an experience, absolutely brilliant. See, you played Hamden Park, that was fantastic.
It was tasteful, obviously. It's done tasteful. I don't know if anybody will ever step forward and say they volunteered it. I blame Seth Blatter of FIFA or UEFA. It must have been their idea. But it was in Scotland, so football, and I went to a thistle, and there was a bunch of guys in kilts painted with wood and stuff, and they were helping to open the football. It was tasteful.
A performance never to be repeated.
Although 500 Miles worked, I always thought I'm On My Way would have been a good one as well. I'm on my way from misery to happiness. It's not always easy being a Scotland supporter, and the line that goes, I'm on my way from misery to happiness, would have been really, really appropriate, and that's often how it feels as a Scotland supporter. So what I want from this world, and years from now, you'll make it to the next world.
While the success of 500 Miles has perhaps left the twins with more than their fair share of naysayers, never, ever suggest they're anything less than credible.
Speaking as a spectacle wearer and as a red, well, mortician-haired individual, I don't think they've ever been out of fashion.
It feels good when people like you, and it feels good if people stick with you. And if you can go and play a couple of thousand people in Newcastle or a few hundred people in Sydney or wherever, it's fantastic.
I was often called the third proclaimer, and I was proud to be called so. They're a design classic. Why do they need to change? Like the Coca-Cola bottle, like the VW Beetle, like the moon.
Well, it's undeniably you're into a lot of music from all sorts of places, and I don't think you're someone who's too bothered looking over your shoulder to see if it's cool or not to like it. But the Proclaimers.
Are you suggesting the Proclaimers aren't cool?
I think.
Be very careful now. Tread carefully.
I think the Proclaimers are very cool. So
I do too.
You're going to zap me in a minute, aren't you?
Well, I never understand when people, because I think people who actually know the Proclaimers' music don't doubt for a second how cool it is and how heartfelt it is and how soulful it is. And how moving it is, actually. And it's people who maybe only know them from 500 Miles, I suppose. There can be a very ignorant view that they're almost a novelty act somehow, which is absurd if you listen to their songs. They're in a different class.
Somehow, I don't think you'd be a prima donna on the Doctor Who set, but I'm getting a slight impression that maybe everybody else in the crew's got to like the Proclaimers or else.
No. I'm very, I wouldn't force my views on anyone, but anyone who doesn't think the Proclaimers are great is wrong.
The only time we ever had kind of real hip critics liking us was in for about 3 or 4 months in the summer of 87. We had a bit then, and that lasted until Letter from America was a hit, and then that disappeared. So I think that is an advantage. I think if you're a very hip band, that can vanish. It is there to be lost, I think. That can vanish, and then somebody else is going to come along who's much hipper than you are.
An anthem was born, and the cover versions began to flow in its wake.
It's good. I think it's one of these songs that it is hard. It's very simple. It's very easy to sing. And I think you would be hard pushed to really screw that song up. Some people do better than others.
Strong next to you. And if I haver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. If I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 miles to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down and talk. When I'm lonely, with you.
The most enduring legacy of this song surely lies in the contribution of the word haver to the lexicon of popular music, a term not every cover artist has been entirely comfortable with.
If I haver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you.
Go to Still in America this day, every gig somebody will come up and ask us what it means, you know.
And if I haver, whatever that means, I'm gonna be the man who's ever in you.
Haver would be like going in a pub in Fife on a Saturday night when people have had too much to drink and they're just talking for the sake of talking and there's no sense to it. They're not making any sense and they're not it's nonsensical and it is perhaps a bit influenced by alcohol. I think that generally it's often influenced by alcohol. Yeah.
Well, I'm lonely,
lonely
when I'm lonely. You know I'm lonely. No, I'm gonna be.
Gonna be.
Be the, who's lonely? Gonna be the man. Oh, who's lonely when I'm dreaming? I will be the man. I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
You know, it's a kind of song that you don't, very few people ever write a song or ever are on involved in a song that is successful as that, and very rarely if you that you have two or three or four that do as well as that. I think it's probably always going to be what we're best known for. We still get the money for it, thank God, but I think it doesn't really feel, it feels more like a folk song or something from the 60s or 70s, really. I think, you know, it's one of those, it's just, it's passed across to, it's a song of the public, of the people, I think.
Almost two decades after I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles first appeared, with a history of rabble-rousing live outings at Tea in the Park, Glastonbury and international football playoffs behind it, the Proclaimers gained a whole generation of new fans thanks to the critical thumbs up of Matt Lucas and Peter Kay.
Hello, I'm Matt Lucas, and I'm here with the Proclaimers, and we're going to talk about things, nice things. And the first thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that one of you is not wearing glasses. What? Because for me,
yeah.
Whoa, you know what I mean?
It's meant to confuse people. It's meant to confuse the general public, it's meant to confuse, you know, over-enthusiastic fans, and it's my disguise, but it's now blown.
Of course, Peter had no idea Matt was an enormous fan. For him, it was a dream come true.
You know, it's like you couldn't have picked a guy that was going to say yes more than Matt would have done, because he was, he'd been to see us many times over the years, you know, and he'd sort of corresponded with us on the internet since about the mid-90s, late-90s. So, yeah, good lad.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm going to be the man who wakes up next to you.
Yeah,
no. When I go out, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you.
Who?
When I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. Yes.
Yeah.
And when I hear the,
what's
he for
me?
And what was really strange was that it was done just as in London. The night before, we're in this hotel, and all these folks swanning about in kind of evening gowns, and you go, they look like, but I don't know who it is, they look like they should be sitting. It was like a Wednesday night, and they go, I know there's a lot of money around here, but what, they're all spawning, and this was the extras in the hotel, and I don't realise that the next day. So we played to the extras, and then the next day, they got all the celebs in, and Peter Kay filmed them like 2, 3, 4 at a time, and that's how it was done. So we were actually playing a bunch of lookalikes, and the extras came the next day. But when we saw the video for the first time, it took me maybe 20 times before I recognised, I think, everybody in it. And I was like, that, is that not, can be? And it was like 20 times watching that video before I got all the folks. So it was good, but some of the guys in the band stayed for the second day, and they met like Dusty Bin and Kenny Lynch,
real
and Paul O'Grady and all that. So they're a fantastic thing.
A heartfelt ode, an enjoyable romp, an exercise in brother harmony songwriting brevity. Whatever your views on I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles, It's lasted 20 years so far, and looks set to stick around for 20 more.
I think it's a good song. You know what I think? It's a good song. You hear it in context. Maybe you hear it on a radio show or something. You hear it, the song before it and the song after it, and you say, well, that deserves to be there. It's as good as those ones. It is, you know, it has become a classic. It has.
They definitely had, you know, a wilderness few years, as I did, and as many people have in this business, when we forgot why we loved what we do. They realised it before it was too late. They fell back in love with it, and their music fell back in love with them, and that's what happens to the good guys.
We've ended up being a lot more successful and making a lot more money than we ever thought would. The fact that we can still play and do lots of shows and go all over the world, that's the main thing to us. It's not about how many records we've sold, you know. I think it's the fact that we can still go out and play music.
Now, raise your head and sing it loud as we wish happy birthday to this sincerely Scottish anthem.
I'm not singing it for you now, if that's what you're going to ask.
Oh, go on.
No.
Give us a couple
no.
of bars.
No, because I'm sure you've got, you know, the actual recording there, and I would only embarrass myself.
Shetland has more hours of daylight than anywhere else in the UK, so where better to celebrate midsummer with plenty of live music? Eben Collins will be there, accompanied by Roddy Frame and Andy Hackett, no less, and Shetland's finest will be represented by Sheila Henderson and Cully for Bolly. Make it to the Flavour of Shetland Marquee on Victoria Pier in Lerwick. Come along and join in the show. Otherwise, make sure you're with us from 2 till 4 on BBC Radio Scotland.
Tom Morton at Midsummer, live from Lerwick on Friday afternoon.
...92 to 95 FM, 810 medium wave, and on digital. BBC Radio Scotland.
Good afternoon, it's 12 o'clock.